Hey everybody, this is Adam Paulus for the Entertainment Earth Podcast. I'm here to tell you about all kinds of exciting things, but this week in particular, I'm going to tell you about Star Wars Celebration 5 in Orlando, Florida. I was there last week, and I do a lot of writing for people, and I'm going to give you an early draft of an abridged article regarding the 10 best things that you need to know at Star Wars Celebration 5. I went to a lot of panels, I went to a lot of booths, I talked to a lot of people. So let's get started with the article. A lot happened at Celebration 5 in Orlando, Florida this past weekend, some of which was of great significance, some of which was nerdish ramblings in a hybrid dialect of dork and southern combined with a mumbling that I honestly could not interpret to save my life. Funko, Windlass, Lego, and Gentle Giant revealed little new, but others weren't quite as tight-lipped about the future of their product lines. Other people, you see, announced everything at San Diego, so there wasn't much left. Having been to several conventions in several cities over the years, I can tell you with almost absolute certainty that this felt like one of the best-run conventions I've ever been to. Maybe the turnout was low. I don't know. But there really wasn't much of anything I didn't feel like I didn't get to see if I really wanted to see it. I consider this a great personal victory. And speaking of victories, here are 10 things you just gotta know from the show. Oh, and the live-action Star Wars show was not discussed in any detail, as far as I could tell. Number 10. Commercial television's strict grid denied us Plo Koon versus Bossk fighting. The brisk pacing of television denied us a potentially very cool scene in The Clone Wars last season. Director and man with hat Dave Filoni shared that many episodes of The Clone Wars run long, some as long as 29 minutes, before being pruned down to a brisker 22-minute runtime. A bit of cool stuff is lost in the process, including a battle between Jedi Knight Plo Koon and Bounty Hunter Bossk that was removed for story and length reasons. Since Bossk's story wasn't integral to the tale being told in the episode, this ended on the cutting room floor. No word on how much of it was completed or if it might be a reason you want to buy the DVD and Blu-ray later on. This is why HBO is going to succeed as a platform in the future. Runtimes are being determined by showrunners, not advertisers. Number 9. Garinden was played by John Wayne. Okay, that's a half-truth, but at Ben Burtt's panel promoting his new book, he said that a snippet of John Wayne's voice, highly processed, was what came out as the voice of Garinden. We were also told that Bossk was a barely processed gurgle and growl from Burtt himself, plus the TIE fighter engine incorporated elephant noises. Heck, the Sando Aqua Monster from Episode 1 was his infant daughter run through some heavy processing. Ben Burtt may be the truly most magical effects wizard working today, creating an astonishing audio vista out of literally anything. Number 8. Hasbro's mail-in offers are actually quite flexible in 2010. The mail-in offers for Boba Fett and the battle mat with the Sergeant Brick figure accept UPCs from every non-exclusive, except the Expanded Universe Wave, which it does accept, basic action figure since August 2008. That means all weapons lockers, Saga Legends figures work. All animated Clone Wars figures work. All vintage 2010 Star Wars figures work. All Build-A-Droid figures work. So there you have it. No excuse not to send off for the mail-in rocket-firing Boba Fett or Sergeant Brick action figures. Number 7. The Scramble on Yavin Rebel Technician with Rebel Technician's transport vehicle will return. Due to the outrageous prices on the popular Scramble on Yavin Battle Pack, which Hasbro assumed would have been a flop, they will reissue half of it in 2011. Toys R Us will get the vehicle and the Rebel Technician, but what of Garvin Dreis and his plucky robot buddy? We have no idea, but it's possible the reissue of the vehicle will cause the original set's price to drop. Army builders take note, you'll likely want a few of these for your future dioramas. Number 6. The Force Unleashed will include Boba Fett, Yoda, and Doubt. Starkiller returns in Star Wars The Force Unleashed 2 in a few months as a clone. Or is he? The game's producers confirmed a major plot point will be that Vader tells him he's a clone, while others tell him he's not a clone. And remember, we saw the man die at the end of the first game. Who's lying? And does it make sense for someone to return from the dead so he can nail his hottie Imperial pilot lady friend? Let's say that it does, because in the process, Starkiller goes to Dagobah to see a strange little green guy while being pursued by Boba Fett and elements of the Imperial Navy. The presentation made the game look good, like a lot of fun, so really, why not go to Dagobah? Number 6. The Hasbro Star Wars Clone Wars mail-in battle mat includes a figure and holds 20 figures. So, how does the battle mat store figures? Simple. Flip it over, and the vinyl game mat has 20, not 16 as Hasbro reported at their own panel, pouches made of clear vinyl, which can hold most normal width action figures. This does not seem to be a practical storage solution for those of us with hundreds, or more accurately, thousands of action figures, but it's a good way for a kid to take a small army over to Grandma's house. Since it includes one figure, you should probably go ahead and order one, since you're probably going to go to Nana's house eventually. Number 4. The Clone Wars will last 5, if not more, seasons, and a crazy fan-wank season is incoming. Would you like to see Darth Maul's brother? Do you want to see Ian McKaig's Sith Witch design brought to life as a fully realized character? Do you want to see a full-scale Separatist assault on Kamino? Well, you're going to see all of these, and if the rumblings are true, Quinlan Vos will show up this season, as well as some sort of significant tie-in to the original trilogy. But Darth Maul? Sure. Dathomir? Why not? Cham Syndulla? He'll be back. And Ahsoka will have a crazy dark vision, too, so it should be another fun season. George Lucas confirmed the stuff that is currently in development at Lucasfilm will appear in the 5th season of the television show, so it is now confirmed to be running as long as ratings permit and not being capped off at 100 episodes or 4 seasons, as discussed previously. Number 3. George Lucas is acutely aware that adult fans do not like the prequels. In his interview with Jon Stewart, there was a lot of jabbing regarding just how much the fans hate some things. George said that for the original films, our collective group hated C-3PO back in the 1970s. For the new films, we all hated Jar Jar Binks. He went on to say that the backstory for his original trilogy just wasn't as interesting and flat out said that studio executives expected that a story on the origins of Darth Vader would include more armor, more killing, and fewer 10-year-old boys. It lined up pretty well with Patton Oswalt's routine on the very same subject if you're a fan of the comedian. Number 2. Star Wars Blu-ray will be out in fall 2011. George Lucas came out and confirmed you will indeed see all 6 films on Blu-ray. And you'll probably buy the 4th, 5th, or 6th edition of the movies in your home video collection, too. All 6 movies will be released with some changes to the films that were unspecified, as well as tons of new supplements, including an honest-to-goodness archive of deleted scenes from the original trilogy. To prove it, he screened the alternate opening where Luke Skywalker was finalizing his lightsaber while Darth Vader was telepathically communicating with him through the Force across space. This means alternate takes, maybe Biggs' Darklighter, even Wampa attacks could be on the horizon. I'm sure this will be the can't-miss video purchase of the season. Given what other Blu-ray movie sets cost, I would wager that a 6-film Star Wars set means we're looking at a $120 or more price tag, so start saving. After you get your Blu-ray player, of course. No word on Indiana Jones, which was rumored to be released prior to Star Wars, and since it's not out now, who knows? And the number 1 tidbit from episode Celebration 5, the other was not originally Leia. Gary Kurtz held a panel on Saturday night where he delved into the rumblings of an alternate take on Return of the Jedi. Han died. Leia was crowned queen. Luke rode off into the sunset alone to find the other, who would be his twin sister, but that would not be Leia, it would be another character. This was actually open the saga. This would open it up to more stories, but this is a distinct point in the development cycle. The nature of our movies was still up in the air, so who knew what we would get. What else might have been for the saga? We'll never know for sure. And I'm certainly hopeful that someone gets a book deal, buys Gary Kurtz a bunch of drinks, and has a microcassette recorder switched on for the night. Mr. Kurtz, if you're ever out here in Phoenix, first round's on me, and the second, and the third. Given that Star Wars as a franchise typically thrives on secrecy, half-truths, and frustrations, this is a really refreshing show. We were told all kinds of things we've never heard before. We've seen new things other than, hey, here's a new character's hat. And we got to see that the future of the franchise is actually quite bright, no matter what anyone's enthusiasm may or may not be. Seeing that we're now getting to peek into the vault of lost treasures in the original trilogy, this might be one of the best times to be a fan, short of being lucky enough to have seen all 3 films in the theaters back in the 70s and 80s. So, it was a good show. I hope you had a good time if you were there. If you didn't, I hope this gave you a little insight as to the kind of things you could learn at the show. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/enterth, E-N-T-E-R-T-H, and thanks for listening to the Entertainment Earth Podcast.